Good morning, beloved children of God. We're going to continue on the topic of the promises of God. And as we do, the key word this morning is victory. Victory is the key word for our message this morning. So as we go through this, it may be helpful for you to think about a place in your life, in your heart, where the honest truth is, I'm defeated here. You have accepted the resignation. You're defeated in this place. Keep that place in sharp view as we proceed through the message this morning the Lord will bring us concerning victory. Our congregational confession comes from Romans 16:20. It says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." That's the promise. So, it's a congregational confession. When I say, and all God's people said, you, it'd be good if you really look at one another, would turn to the person next to you and say, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's the promise. Let's practice. And all God's people said, that's right. Very good. Very good. We won't say it much, but all through the week this week, and you're wrestling and you lose sight of the victory, you can come back to this place and say the promise. It's not my idea. It's not my promise. It's his promise that he gave you through the Apostle Paul. Amen? All right. With that in view, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray this morning that you will apply your holy word to our hearts. Help us to enter in more deeply to the victory of Jesus on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name we ask this, and everyone said, amen. Or, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen. All right. Victory. Victory. Are you kidding me? Victory? Victory when I can't pay my bills? Victory? Victory when this body is falling apart? Victory? Victory when my teenage child is in rebellion? Victory? Really? Really? Victory? Victory when I happen to live in the least safest city in the United States of America? Victory? What kind of victory is this? Have you been there, people of God? Have you been there? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? And in our flesh, we kind of rise up within us. We begin to push back against God. And we make ourselves judge. And we begin looking at things and say, you know what? If this is victory, you can keep it. Are you with me? And so, as we are honest about ourselves in this matter, we're going to hear the promise of victory from God from the beginning of the fall. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve choose to believe the lie, you see, they side with the evil one when they believe the lie in the fall, and fell into sin. We're going to take up, you know, God's going to approach them, look for them in the garden. He's going to approach them. What's going on here? And then he's going to deal out the sentence. In this sentence, he's going to first address the serpent, who we later learn in Scripture is really Satan. And then he's going to address the woman, Eve, and then he's going to address Adam with the sentence or penalty for sin. As he does, let's look at God speaking to, really speaking to the serpent. He is speaking to the serpent here. We'll take up at verse 14 in Genesis 3, and we're going to look for the promise of victory. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this in terms of deceiving and instigating this partaking of the fruit, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, we don't have time, but then he's going to turn and address Eve, and then he's going, and there's going to be pain in childbirth, right? And all the women, is it true? Is that true? Yes. And then he's going to address Eve and talk about, you know, we all love a lovely home life, but God the judge says in the home life is going to become a place of tension. There's going to be a place of tension with the husband and the wife in the home, which is representative not just of Adam and Eve or husband and wife. We know that this tension is in all the realms, right? Okay, whether it's government, it's the government leaders against the people. If it's business, it's the business owner and it's over and against the employees. It's everywhere. Adam and Eve are our representatives. Okay? And then he's going to address Adam, and then Adam is told that his work is going to be painful, it's going to be frustrating. Anyone frustrated in their work? You know, I was frustrated yesterday. I was supposed to be preparing a sermon. I thought I'd go fix the toilet real quick, you know, and do a little deal here and go to turn off the valve and turn the valve back on. And oh, no, water's coming out everywhere. You know, the sentence was against me yesterday. And so it is true that labor is frustrating. And it feels like oftentimes it's in vain. And then finally Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden and locked away and kept out of the garden. Now, you might look at this and say, well, okay, where's the promise? But we have to be clear here and look and see that oftentimes when we look at this, we can superficially look at it and see it's all just penalties, negative. Now, there is some negative things here. God put them in place. He says there's going to be this hostility between good and evil. Does that continue to this day? Yes, it does. There is tremendous perpetual hostility ever since the fall between good and evil, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And there's this ongoing conflict. It's been there. But also what is there is much grace in this passage as God gives out a sentence. You know, in verse 14, he said, "Cursed are you, the serpent," didn't he? Now, what verse does he curse the woman? What verse? That's right. He never curses the woman, does he? And at what verse does he curse Adam? He never curses Adam, does he? God was very gracious in his work from the beginning. Amen? Very, very gracious. But particularly, we want to focus in on the fact, even though Adam and Eve, they side with Satan when they're deceived, God steps in as judge. And whose side does he take? Who does he side with? When he says there's going to be this hostility between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the who? The woman. God sides with Adam and Eve, and he says your seed is going to crush the seed of the evil one. Amen? And so God's graciousness and the first hint of a promise of victory starts right here where the Lord, in giving out a sentence to the serpent, he promises that he is the seed of the woman is going to crush the seed of the serpent. And it's undeveloped, but the promise is nonetheless there of a victory that is coming. Amen? And for me, I find it quite amazing. You know, we can think about it as parents, you know, and we tell our kids something and we give them instructions on what to do. How many times as parents, we're just ready to... They screw up. We're ready to wring our hands of them. I'm done with you. I've been told you and you still messed up. And how many times do we want to simply walk away from a bad situation? How many times? Yes. Yes. Or we might see someone else in need and they're in the mess that they created. And we might just simply pass by on the other side. How many times? Do you see that God is not like us? Oh, glory to God. Adam and Eve make a mess of things, and God actually steps in and steps up. Amen? That's the kind of God we need. Someone who will step in and will step up at our point of need. This is your God stepping in to bring victory. Promising and engaging you further rather than being like you and I who might say, oh no, this is too deep and too messy. Thanks, but no thanks. Huh? Our God and Father is not like that. He's just the opposite. He engages and enters in more deeply. And so being like that, in our difficult situations, at that
Again, think of the place where you feel defeated. When the evil one, again, just like with Adam and Eve, comes to feed us a little lie and we feel defeated, you know, God really doesn't care about you, does he? I mean, after all, you wouldn't be so defeated if he loved you. Surely he's not good. Have you ever entertained those lies? And so, people of God, I just want to invite us back to this opportunity to confess and to repent and ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for entertaining the lies of the evil one. Lord God, forgive me for those times when I make myself judge. I find myself judging you rather than you judging me. God, forgive me for the pride in my flesh. Because it's really present. It's really very, very real. Holding God in contempt. Now, so the truth of the matter is, this promised victory means for us really, ultimately, victory in every circumstance. Now, I know if you're anything like me, you don't necessarily always feel victorious. But that, it's not about feelings. Amen. It's not at all about feelings. But I do want to make some clarifications about how we view and understand the victory that is promised us. There's generally two camps of confusion around ideas of victory. There's lots of folks, lots of people who claim Christ, who walk in victory all the time. Okay? I used to be a part of that camp in my former life. I was, I call it the too blessed to be stressed group. Okay? And it doesn't matter about what's going on. It's victory. It's victory. It's victory now. And it's victory, you know, I'm going to confess victory. If I don't see victory, I'm going to make it victory by confessing victory. As if our words have some creative power. Now, I think that camp, I can learn from that camp because I need, I'm actually in the other extreme, which I'll get to in a minute. There's a place, there is real victory here. But if we take all of Scripture, the apostles warn us that though evil and Satan are defeated, it doesn't mean evil is abolished. Okay? There still is evil in our world. It's still very real. And there's still sorrows because of that evil. And we, as Christians, have freedom to embrace that. Okay? So that camp where I'm too blessed to be stressed, I think, is a little off kilter. Then there's this other camp in which I find myself. What are you laughing for, honey? Where, you know what? I'm defeated before I get out of bed. It's cold outside. Oh, I resign. Call it a day. And I easily just yield to the resistance of the evil one. And find myself thinking and believing, oh, only the worst thing can come out of this. Are you there? Anyone go there? I mean, when I think about situations, my wife, she's another extreme. She's always thinking, always positive about people. No, I'm always thinking negative about people. You know, so, hopefully we balance one another out. But the thing of it is here, is that I can lose sight of the fact that Christ has brought victory. Are you with me? He didn't die so I can live a defeated life. Amen. He died for us to live a victorious life. But it's in this life, it's often intention. Are you with me? It's intention.
I like the way the Apostle Paul puts the victory. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, I am being renewed day by day. Amen?
Those things are held in tension. We already have the victory in Jesus Christ, but it's not yet fully here. Evil and sorrow still is very present.
But it doesn't stop the victory. Amen? Lord Jesus, help us to lay hold of this victory in our lives. It's here for you. It's here for all of us. And so we want to stay in that tension, that healthy place where, yes, are we victorious in all things? Absolutely. As Christians, we are victorious in all things. But we also know outwardly we're wasting away. And I'm telling you, as I get older, I haven't faced a monster quite so big. Lord, help me. But okay, we need to move on. So I want us to look. I want us to look into the New Testament about more about this victory that's brought to us by the offspring of the woman. And principally, want to answer the question, what is the basis of our victory? What is the basis upon which we stand for our victory? All right? Now, people base victory on all sorts of things. If I told you this morning you hit the lottery, you would be, "Woo! Yeah!" thinking that your bank account has become the basis of your victory. Are you with me? Okay? Some people in this world, they think they have the victory because of their nationality or ethnic group. Are you with me? Others think they have the victory because I got strong faith. That's why I got the victory. I got faith. That's why I got the victory. And people of God, none of those are true. Are you with me? None of them are true. There is one and only one basis for our victory. Amen? And it's the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is the one and the only basis of our victory. Look with me in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, it's really a unfolding and a further explanation concerning this vague promise given in Genesis 3 about the seed of the woman. Is now we're going to see a full-blown development of warring conflict. Remember, there's going to be hostility between good and evil. And so John has a vision in heaven. You and I typically relate always in this horizontal realm. But one day John has this vision, and he sees this vision that there is war in heaven. War between good and evil. War between the archangel Michael and the serpent, the devil. And we're going to see the outworking of the shed blood of Jesus being the basis of the victory in the vision. Revelation chapter 12. I'm actually start at verse 7 to give us a little bit of the context to see the conflict. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough.
And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is... Don't forget that. His time is short. Because he'll lie to you, doesn't he? Huh? He makes you think it's forever, doesn't it? Yeah, but it ain't so. It just isn't so. And so here, we see those in heaven, those heavenly worshipers, they see this battle between good and evil, one angel against another, and we see the evil one loses. That one who roams around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour is actually defeated. Though he has not yet conceded to the defeat. Are you with me? If you let him, he wants to still come around to intimidate. He's got a pretty heavy roar. And it can intimidate any of us. Because I haven't heard a roar like that before. But he is defeated. And so, people of God, the basis that is stated here speaks of those, which I believe is us, believers, faithful ones. It says in verse 11, they overcame him. Overcame who? Yeah, the evil one. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That's good news. That's good news for you and I. The offspring of the woman has come and on the cross decisively defeated the evil one. That is awesome. And that is our basis of victory. So when you're looking for victory, don't look to your bank account. When you're looking for victory, don't look for health in your body. When you're looking for victory, don't look to your ethnic group or nationality. If you're looking for victory, don't look at your faith. There's only one place to look to find this victory. It's the Lamb who laid down his life for you and I. Amen? So, how can you and I concretely, because, you know, we can think that, oh, Jesus died on the cross. That's kind of nebulous. You can't kind of touchy-feely it, you know. We like to be concrete. Oh, yes. You want to be concrete? Good. Good. You want to bring this victory into that place where you are defeated?
Do you want to learn to see the blood of the Lamb bring about victory into that place? Then we're going to need to follow Jesus. We're going to need to learn how to follow Jesus. Just like these faithful ones spoken of, it wasn't only Jesus ultimately who overcame the evil one. Michael the archangel overcame the evil one. And also faithful believers also to overcome the evil one, right? That's why we can say, and all God's people said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That promise is true as you and I recognize that Christ has already secured it. Now, the way that victory comes into that place where you are defeated, well, just like it says here, through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, their experience of the work of the blood of the Lamb in their lives, they could testify to that in their lives, both not just simply in what they believe, but in as they learn to pursue issues of justice and mercy, as they learn to show mercy just like they had received mercy. But then there's this third step they take. Let's take a look. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. People of God, this is how you concretely bring the victory of Jesus into your situation. You follow Jesus to death just like he went to death. So think about that situation. Okay? Let's think about, you live in the least safest city in in the United States. Okay? That just came out this week. We already knew that, didn't we? No news to us. We already knew. Now the rest of the world knows. But the way you enter in and bring victory into a broken community is you have to incarnate. You enter into that world and you look for opportunities to sacrificially love. Amen? So, if it's, say, you have a broken body, you can sacrificially, I would urge you, if that's your place of defeat in your body, look for someone to love who you perceive as their body is further along, wasted away than yours. And learn to lay down your life and walk with them and love them. That's where Jesus enters in and seeks to bring victory. Amen? I'm very old school, but, a little illustration here. So God's up in heaven ruling and reigning. Now, you need to understand, how does he get down into 2018? How does he get down into 2018 in South St. Louis? How does he do it? The way he does it is, God has this network and he has set up all these little hot spots in St. Louis. Guess who those hot spots are? Those nodal points. Who are they? We're little hot spots, okay? And so we are in touch with the living God up there, amen? But we're also in touch down here. And so what God wants to do is to use you as a little hot spot to download righteousness and justice, to love and to care, to come along somebody and love them, lose your life, and to become an instrument to bring life. Your death brings life to somebody else. People of God, I've lived this out a little bit at various levels. I've struggled. But I can tell you, I don't know what the murder rate is this year. It's not good. But in the early 90s, one thing I know, it was worse. It was 260-some, I remember, I think, in the early and mid-90s when we started up in North St. Louis. And you learn to enter in, and we placed ourselves on this street called Etzel. And as a pastor coming to work days and walking up the steps and saying excuse me to the gang guys and seeing blood on the porch and being terrified, frightened, watching guys walk down the alley with sheets over TVs. Seeing guys pull up to the corner, pull a gun out of their window, of their car. Boom, 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 boom. Watching guys dying. Blood coming out of their mouths. Because there are these gang battles going on. What I know is Jesus brought his victory into all that mess. There used to be this one lady. I used to visit her. Part of my job was a visit. And so I don't know what I'm doing. I go out and knock on doors and visit people. And I visit this lady again and again and again. And she would say, she'd say to her kids, tell him I'm not here. And I would just, I would visit my, not because I necessarily wanted to, okay? But because it was my job as a pastor, go visit people. So I go visiting. And you know what? Her kids would come to tutoring, only to bust our windows out and cuss me out. But one day, she yielded her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Years later, her brother yields and comes to Christ. You understand when someone comes to Christ, the evil one has just been defeated. You understand that? Okay. And Jesus has won the victory. Amen. And so this is happening, and she falls in love with the Lord. But then some of her siblings died. She eventually died. Her daughter comes to the Lord. All these dynamics. It looks ugly and messy. But I want you to know victory was there. And so I happened to be in the hood one day, just a week or two ago. And I look up the street, and lo and behold, there's a man of God walking with her grandchild. Oh, man. It is beautiful. And I take off running. Whoa, what's up? What's going on? Amen. And we pray. Right there together. In this very street where I've watched people be killed. Fights. And still in 2018. I see the grandchild of my sister in the Lord, and I pray, because you know the warfare still is going on. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, bring your victory right down into this grandchild right now. And don't you know, that's being a hot spot for Jesus. That's how you bring the victory of Jesus concretely into your place of defeat. We don't have to try to control the outcome of it. That's not our job. Our job is simply to be a hot spot and be willing to put our neck on the line to see the victory of Jesus come through it. The outcome of the matter, we simply are free. Lord, how you bring the victory, when you bring the victory, that's on you. That's for you to do in your wisdom. Because you alone know the right way. And you alone know the right time. My job is to be that hot spot and be willing to follow Jesus, even if it's necessary, to death. Amen? I hope that makes sense to us. I hope that brings some concreteness to the fact that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Amen? Amen. I know for me, the truth be told, sometimes I feel like it's the other way around. But the evil one's crushing me. But that's all a lie. Let's form a circle and prepare to receive the Lord's Supper.